Now, speaking of treats, we have a real treat today. We've got two presenters, John and Lisa C. Did I say that right?
Yes.
And they're going to come up here and talk to us about the therapeutic value. Thank you, guys. Let's have a little hand for them.
Well, it's not that. John's naturally blabby, so whatever I don't cover, he can. I'm Lisa, grateful recovering addict.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Nope, you're fine. My clean date is 8/12/05. And the reason why I share that is not to brag. Okay, well, I'm not going to say it's not to brag. It is bragging because, like, I put in a lot of work to get this time, right? But the way I learned to put in this work was because of you guys and my predecessors. I was raised in the rooms. Both my parents, the woman that gave birth to me and my father, are both recovering addicts and in the rooms. I remember being 3 years old in meetings in Las Vegas, Nevada, cleaning ashtrays, right? Because then they could smoke in meetings. And so from like here up, there was nicotine stains on the walls from people smoking in meetings all the time. I started off my addiction fairly young. I was 12 years old. And I remember coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I didn't have anybody treat me any different. I was 13 years old, and when I walked in these rooms, I wasn't 13. I was an addict, right? And that was huge for me. I just wanted somewhere to belong. Of course, that didn't stick. It took me a couple more years of research and development to figure out what was going on. I've given up a lot for that addiction. I gave up an army career. I lost my kids. I've experienced the death of two of my children. My addiction took a lot from me. The last time that I used, I was looking at them burying me under a federal jail because I got caught by the army using. And for whatever reason, my higher power thought that that was not going to happen. And I'm still here. And I'm grateful for that. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Dougie came to me with this and had asked me to do a workshop on it. So, like, the last month or two, like, I've been looking through my literature, and, of course, in the index on the back, there's nothing about therapeutic value. However, it's in our readings. It's in the first couple of chapters of the book. And with that, I can read that all I want, but all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm neurospicy, so like I may bounce over here, come back over here, join right here. I think most of you guys are used to that from hearing me share in meetings. So I was reading just for today's meditation, and it talks about, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but when we first came to NA, some of us wanted everything and right away. We wanted the serenity, the cars, the happy relationships, the friends, and the closeness with our sponsor, all things that other people had gotten after months and years of working on the steps and living life on life's terms. That resonated with me this morning because it talks about that we want all that. I never thought I would have any of that. Through working the steps with my sponsor and putting in the footwork, and showing up to work every day to a job that I hated at the time, and being there for my family and being of service to the fellowship, eventually all that stuff came. But that's all tangible shit. That didn't mean anything. I've lost cars, motorcycles, houses, a spouse, and recovery, right? And that didn't mean shit to me once I lost it all. I've lost and gained and lost and gained. What helped me through that, talking about the therapeutic value of helping another addict. I've been through a lot of stuff in recovery, and I don't think I would have known how to get through it if it weren't for you guys. I came to meetings and I shared about it. I shared my pain. I shared the joys in my life of wonderful things that I've gotten. I remember when I got my son back, he was 15 years old and he had been in juvenile prison for 7 years, right? I didn't know how to be a parent. I haven't seen my son since he was 6 years old when he got taken from me. You guys taught me how to be a parent. You guys taught me how to be a wife, how to be a sister, how to be a daughter. And that, again, falls in with helping each other. Everything that I have learned in my life has been from the women that came before me and after me. There's a really special woman sitting in this room that I love so dearly that has helped me more than she knows. I love you. You know, it's people like, and I'm going to use your name, I'm not going to like that. There's women like Lorraine and some that aren't with us today that taught me how to be a woman. I was 26 years old. I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground when I walked in these rooms. I was 8 months pregnant. I weighed 85 pounds. I was 5 days from my due date, so I was 9 months pregnant, weighed 85 pounds. My clean date is August 12th, and I had my youngest son on August 17th. That child, all four of my children ended up being taken away a couple of years later. I was clean, but it was the repercussions and the damages from what I was using. When I did get my oldest son back, I was scared as hell. I remember calling my sponsor, who is no longer with us, but it was Barb at the time, and I told her, I said, I don't know what to do. This kid left a little boy, and now he came back a teenager that has been locked up for 6 years, right? And we're talking in a program that was like the worst of the worst kids. And I was scared. I did not know what to do. I remember what she did was she gathered me up and we went to, I want to say it was, I don't know, restaurant, cafe, I can't remember. It might have been Freeway Cafe in Tulsa. And they all shared their experience with me, right? There were women there that had become mothers in the program that had lost their children and gotten them back, that their children were grown. Women that were, their children were still out there using and they were trying to learn how to deal with that, right? That's what this woman did for me. And I remember that. And so when he did come home, I wasn't so scared until he discovered girls. That's a whole new can that I don't even want to fucking get into. But the women in this program helped me navigate that. The men in this program gathered up my son and showed him what a man was. It's for the longest time, it's always been me and Joey. He's my only child that doesn't have a dad, basically. So it's always been me and Joey. I didn't know, I'm a mom. I didn't know how to teach him to be a man, right? I may be a huge tomboy with big brother, 10 brothers. I can only teach him so much. The men in this program stepped up, like Paul, Barb's husband, and other people gathered him up. I think you were there too a little bit when you first got here. You guys taught him how to be a man and how to be responsible. Now, unfortunately, my son did end up, I tried to break the cycle with my children, but my son ended up being one of us and was out there. Again, the women in this program stepped up and showed me that I can't save them. I cannot save my child. And that was probably one of the worst things in the world that I have heard, that I had ever heard. Luckily, by this program and practicing the spiritual principles, not only in these rooms, but outside the rooms and with my family, when my son was ready, he came to the rooms. A lot of you guys know him. He will have 8 years clean in June. For any addict fucking mom, that is a miracle. To watch my son come into these rooms and get 24 hours clean, that's a miracle. So I don't like crying in front of people, I've really been thinking about that during this convention because he's all over the place like he used to be. I haven't quite seen my son as happy as he has been this weekend in a long time. And because of that, I have two fucking great grandkids, man. These little boys are like the light of my life. When I go through things with them, again, I pull on the women in the program. I pull on my sponsor. Because these are people I know I can depend on, right? I don't care if you've got 24 hours clean or 30 years clean. I can learn from everybody in these rooms. Some of y'all want to learn not what to do, what not to do, and I want to love you from over there. But again, I learned from everybody. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but if somebody's not good for my recovery, I cannot allow them into my circle. And I'm not saying that their recovery is wrong. It's just not for Lisa. And I say that because I see people get into these rooms and they want everybody to like them, right? That's not going to happen. I know a lot of people that don't like me. And that's okay. What matters is what Lisa thinks about herself. What y'all think of me is none of my business. I don't care. You know, what I do care about is what people in my circle and my family think of me, right? I want my mom, my son to think of me as a good mom. I want my grandchildren to think of me as a good Zaza. They call me Zaza, not Grandma, because I'm not there yet. just not there. And that's what's important to me, right? Am I being a wife to my husband? Am I being of service to my husband? Am I being service to the people in my household, right? Which is us, my son, and my grandchildren. It takes a tribe these days. The only bad thing about living with two other addicts is they call you on your shit. I've actually had my son call my sponsor on me because I was just being a butthole. And that's okay. Sometimes I need that, right? I don't call my sponsor all the time. I'm not great at it. You know, all I can say is that, and I mean, I know the men do their thing, whatever. That's not my field. But with these women in this program, you know, I learned a lot what I did from the women in this program. I'm showing my sponsees how to be women, how to be parents. And I never thought that I'd be able to do that at all, right? Here I am at 19 and a half years clean, and still sometimes I wonder if I'm not teaching these girls, but showing these girls the right way, right? I treat my sponsees like my children. Every time I see them make an accomplishment, I get so happy for them. When I see them, you know, crash and burn, I'm there to pick them up because that's what I do. I'm all about my women in the program. I have learned so much, and everything that I have learned is from the women in this program. Now, don't get me wrong, the men teach me something too, and this isn't for everybody, and I tell everybody this, but I do have a male sponsor I have for 8 years. This man has been my best friend for 15 years, has walked through a divorce with me, getting children back with me, my grandson's being born, moving across the country 3 times. But that's just what worked for me. If you guys are new in the program, that suggestion of the women with the women and the men with the men, I strongly suggest that. You know, but that sponsor has still helped me because when I'm going through my steps and I've got an issue going on, I don't care what sex that sponsor is. If I've got something going on and there's an addict near me and he's a male, because I can look at several in this room and I have very close, intimate, platonic relationships with them. I can call them for anything. And that's the therapeutic value again. It doesn't matter if you have indoor or outdoor plumbing. If you see somebody hurting, reach out. You know, I get it. There's a lot of sick people in the program, and I'll leave it at that. You know, that I get it. They see a male, because look, y'all, women can be predators just as much as men. I don't give a shit what anybody says. You know, but I don't know. I'm just, like, if I see somebody hurting, I don't care if it's a guy. Like, I'm going to sit down and talk to them. Now, if I had guys tell me I need a male to talk to, cool. The first person I get is my husband, because he'll talk to him and make him feel all better. You know, if you want to put some recovery on somebody, my husband's probably way more serene and spiritual than I am sometimes. He's got to pull me back and give me a reality check. Again, the therapeutic value, right? Because he comes at me as a recovering addict, not as a husband trying to tell his wife what to do, not as a male trying to dominate a female. He comes at me as another recovering addict. You're wrong. I'm not going to tell you this in front of people, but maybe you need to rethink this. That makes Lisa put her eyes on herself, because I don't do that a lot. I get out of my own head. I start judging everybody. Where's the spiritual principles in that? I am very approachable, just letting everybody know. Sometimes it may not seem like it, but I am. You guys have taught me, again, to be a trustworthy friend, and that's probably one of the biggest things that I've gotten from this program, and that I don't have to fucking use ever again, even when I want to. And I've seen that. I've seen people lose children in this program, and they don't fucking pick up. They've lost family members in this program, and they don't pick up. And whether or not they know it, if they're going through that stuff, that's still helping me, because I have not been through that yet. That person's, I can go and talk to that person because they have that experience, strength, and hope. The biggest loss I've had in recovery was my first sponsor, Barb. We were best friends. I went everywhere with this woman, because when I moved to Oklahoma, I didn't have a vehicle. I lived way out in the fucking boondocks, way north of Tulsa, between Tulsa and Sperry. And she would come and get me every day and haul me off to meetings. She got me involved in service work like you wouldn't believe, because if you guys knew her, she was a service junkie through and through. And again, the therapeutic value. Every little thing that I get from meetings, it's a therapeutic value. And I didn't really start thinking about it until last night. And it's every little thing. Somebody saying hello to me. Maybe I'm having a really bad freaking day. You know? Somebody giving me a hug or coming up and saying hi to me and, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so. That's helping me, because I'm not real great at greeting people. Usually the people I see have to come up and grab me. And it's not because I'm not thinking of y'all. I have severe ADHD, so I'm all over the place. And I mean all over the place. I was at my home group the other day, and somebody pulled me aside. And this is an outside issue, and I'm not going to go into it, but he's like, you forgot to take your meds this morning, didn't you, Lisa? And I said, yes, sir, I sure did. And so I went home and took him. You know, that's those eyes and ears. I forgot to take him that morning. Again, the therapeutic value. That was your reminder, Lisa, you might want to go home and take your fucking meds. Because I was in and out of the meeting, up and down, talking to people, stuff that I don't normally do in meetings, because I get pissed off when people do that. Because again, neurospicy, I get distracted easily, shiny things, whatever.
Squirrel.
Yes, very much squirrel. My husband will turn around in Walmart, and I am off over looking at something crafty that I've got tons of that I don't even use, because I saw something shiny. Anyways, besides that, you know, I don't have a whole lot to say on it. This is just really what I've had an epiphany on the last couple of days of being here at this convention. I love this convention. I think this was probably the first convention I came to when I moved to Oklahoma. And that was because my first sponsor brought me. I wanted to get back on that story real quick, because that right there proved to me that I didn't ever have to use. You know, that to me, this woman was the epitome of the program. When I asked her to be my sponsor, she had this calm and serenity that I didn't have, that I wanted. So she taught me, believe it or not, how to be more serene than I already am. She told me it was okay to let people be people, that if I thought somebody was lying, I didn't have to put them on blast in a meeting, because I would, right? And then I'd get pissed off when people did that to me. May 15th of 2012, I saw something on the news that a bike had blown out, and it was Barb. She hit a cement barrier, went up over her husband, ripped the fairing off of a Harley, and broke her neck and died instantly. All I can remember doing is running down to there was a whole bunch of us that lived in an apartment complex in recovery there in Tulsa. And I remember going outside, and the girl below me, we hardly ever talked, but I went and banged on her door. I said, Barb is dead. I need you. And the first thing she did was open that door and called some of the women in that complex that were in recovery over to her apartment, and they lugged me up and made sure I was okay. That was the first time in that 7 years that I had been clean that I thought I was going to fucking use. That was my no matter what. Because when I first got clean, I don't know, something happened to this person I may end up using, right? Those reservations. So for me, as an addict, that was my no matter what. I knew if I made it through that, I wouldn't use I'm not going to fucking use. I don't care what comes at me. Now, does that mean that I'm invincible? Hell no. I could go home and make a choice just to fucking go to the fucking trap house, and I could find a trap house anywhere. It doesn't fucking matter where I am. I'm just one bad choice away. You know, and so that's what I've learned to do with people. I've seen a lot of addicts lose people, and, you know, for the longest time I thought, Okay, so let me backtrack, because again, squirrel. Couple of weeks before Barb passed away, a girl had pulled me aside at the meeting, and she's trying to talk to me because she had just had a loss in her family. And what I told this girl was, I don't know what it's like to lose anybody, but I'm here for you. So along with that, when Barb passed away a few weeks later, I felt like that I had called that into existence, if you will, because I told this girl I didn't know what she was going through, and then it happened. So the first thing I did was get a hold of this female so that she could help me through that. Since then, I've been able to help other women through that. You know, that it's rough losing somebody that you care so much about. But I know that since she didn't, I didn't use through losing Barb, I would stay clean through anything. You know, I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life right now. I've got some health issues going on, like we all do as we get older in the program. You know, but I know I'm going to be okay. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I'm going to be okay. I'm either going to come out the other side of this health stuff or I won't. And that's okay. Now, will I fight like tooth and nail if something is going on? Hell yes. I enjoy my life. I love my life today. Anybody in this room, and there's a few of you that I keep bouncing back and forth between, because I love you guys, and you guys have taught me how to be a grown-up in this program. Especially my women in this room, for sure. That's all I've got. Hope you guys got something. If not, I don't know.
Here we go.
Time for the show.
Yeah, right. My name's John, and I am an addict for sure. Right? I love you, baby. Right? I was pondering the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, and how that applied in my life. Right? You know, when I got here, I was fully broken, right? Like spiritually, mentally, physically, I was just a fucking mess, right? And I had been for a really long time. You know, it talks about in our literature being at an animal level, right? Well, I had been that for so long, I didn't know what... I didn't know what to do without fucking doing drugs and hustling and being a criminal and just making fucked up decisions on a regular basis, right? And, you know, when I got here, I think the first thing that hit me hard at my very first meeting, right? I'd been to meetings before, forced, coerced by the judge, for every other reason than trying to get clean, right? And it was always that that Peanuts teacher, like womp 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 womp, luckily through that I knew that when I was ready where to come to, right? But I had no idea of the love of the fellowship, right? And at my first meeting, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another fucking showed up and kicked in. I had somebody at the end of a meeting come over to me and give me the most uncomfortable, loving fucking hug I had ever had in my life. Thank you. I think that is one of the things that kept me coming back, right? Some human loving contact that didn't have to do with a hook or some future freaking endeavor that they wanted from me, you know, or any of those things, right? And, you know, I'd like to say that was my clean date, but it wasn't, right? I'm a little bit hard-headed, if you can't tell by looking at me. And, you know, through the process, right, I made some mistakes. But, like, therapeutic value, like, when I came back, I was told it's okay. You're here. We love you. Just keep coming back and try to come back clean, right? And, you know, I got in the recovery process, and I stuck with some people that I saw that were living the program, right? And in that process, they told me, don't get high, dummy, right? And I didn't. And they told me, hey, you might want to go to a meeting on a regular basis. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll try that, all right? And my sponsor said, call me on a regular basis. And I still fucking struggle with that, right? right? And you know, he told me, read the literature, get into it, right? Don't just fucking run through, right? This is where we get some relief. And I believed him, right? That therapeutic value of one addict helping another, right? And not only did he make those suggestions, he fucking lived that shit, right? He didn't just tell me, hey, these are things you might want to do. He said, these are the things that I do, right? And he does them on a regular basis, right? This is like, okay, not just words in a book, right? This is shit we can apply to our life, right? And I saw his life change, right? And I'm one of those, I ain't so poor I can't pay attention, right? And I listened to him, and I listened to some of the other recovering addicts that are all in and solid, right? Because this was the last house on the block for me, right? I'm pretty good at fucking shit up, and I had messed my life up like completely for a long period of time, and I'd done the jails and I'd done the institutions, and that didn't work for me, right? That was comfortable shit. I did that pretty good. I can do a fucking 7 real easy and it not be a problem. But staying out here and living life with some spiritual principles, right? Acting like a human being, doing something kind for somebody just for the purpose of doing something kind for somebody was unimaginable to me. Like, what do you mean I'm not going to get something out of it? That isn't tangible, right? For a long time, I didn't have any self-respect. I didn't understand what that was or how to get it. And I asked my sponsor, and my sponsor said, well, if you want some self-respect, you got to do some respectable shit. And I was like, well, that's the thing. You know, incomprehensible things, the simple things in life, like maybe you might want to get up before 2 o'clock, right? You know, make your bed, right? Take a shower on a daily basis, right? I had a few teeth back then, so brush teeth, you know, shave. Those things that, like, I just didn't do, right? Without being, like, fucking told at the door, hey, here's a razor, you got 15 minutes, give it back, you know, like, those things that, I just didn't understand, like showing up to work early, you know, coming in on your day off, all of those things that, like, just were not part of my tool set, right? After a while of being like, okay, shown on a regular basis how to do those things, that if somebody hadn't shown me applying spiritual principles in situations that normally things that I thought were working for me that really weren't, could change my life and had in their lives, gave me some hope. Like, oh, what do you mean I don't have to fuck shit up regularly? You know? I can do that and still freaking handle up, you know? What do you mean drugs aren't the freaking problem? Right? Like these epiphanies that freaking somebody told me, we have a disease that's here. Right? What do you mean I'm all fucked up and it's not the drugs? You know? What? You know, maybe the fact that I'm a liar, a cheat, a thief, and a destroyer of anything good. Well, hold on. I'm a good motherfucker, right? You know, those fantasies we tell ourselves to keep doing the fucked up shit we're doing. I had to have somebody shed some real light on it, that it had some recovery, right? My sponsor used to do a thing Sunday nights where we'd get together and we'd go over the literature. And I was sitting there one night and I'd gotten to a point in my step work and we were reading something about being restored to a human being, right? And I just looked this way. I'm all soft inside now, right? For the first time in my life, I felt like a human being, and I got to fucking be grateful for that and show some emotion, right? Get vulnerable. All those things that I was never able to do before without being shown how to do, right? I was like at a level when I got here that I didn't even know what feelings were, other than anger and pain and a disdain for the world and life itself. We got to work a 5-step and get to the nature of, right, without a sponsor and somebody freaking to show me and what helped me through these steps and shed some light on the fact that I'd been living in a fantasy for such a freaking long time. The lies had become truths, and I got to get to the core of, which for me, step 5, was fear. I thought I was that no fear motherfucker, right? You talk about shaking your core freaking values and understanding. Let a sponsor freaking bring you to some real understanding and some recovery, right? And it scared the shit out of me, right? And I was told it's okay, right? And I was told you're gonna be all right. We're just getting started, motherfucker. Right? And he was right. Right? I've gotten to, come to this, this point in my life where I'm good with who I am today. Right? I understand, now, it talks about your understanding about the truth is going to change, right? I'm going to be ready for that shit. But right now, my understanding of life and who I am is because of another recovering addict, my predecessors. You know, I feel the word gratitude is such a small word for what I feel today, right? But without the people that started this, you know, a lot of people are kind of off about the sister program, right? But like without that, even we wouldn't have this today, right? You know, without the people, the men and women that came before me, I would just be clean, right? Clean and fucking miserable. Might as well be high. I'd rather be high and miserable than clean and miserable. You know, fuck. You know, so like the fact that my sponsor and a lot of the people that he kicks it with, and a lot of the people I surround myself with live this program on a regular basis and show me how to get through some of the horrific shit that life throws at you, regardless of whether you get clean or not. Life don't give a fuck, right? The disease definitely don't give a fuck. But like my higher power and my core me gives a fuck today, right? And that's because, you know, I was shown how to live by other people that live this fucking program and are living proof that this works. Out of all the shit I ever freaking did, all the prison time, the medications, the slaps in the back of the head from my pops, you know, I think the first 12 years of my life was lived like this. I thought gravity went this way, not that way, right? Oh shit, right? But all of that shit, right? Losing many times over all of those tangible things, right? I've come to appreciate more, not that I don't like my Harley, but like I like the fact that I have some self-respect today. I like the fact that I'm not angry anymore, right? I like the fact that I understand relationships, right? And the value of, right? I know what a friendship is because I was shown what a friendship is by another recovering addict, right? I know what a relationship with my higher power is, right? Because somebody told me that was important and they showed me, right? That with an honest, open relationship with a higher power and working this program, you can't lose. Regardless of what goes down, you got that, right? When I wake up in the morning, I thank God for another day breathing, right? And another day clean. And it seemed like when I value that, boy, my day doesn't get nothing but better. Regardless of what fucking comes down the turnpike, I got that, right? And then I see my woman's beautiful face tomorrow, right? Bam, that gratitude bumps up a little bit more. And then I wake my kids up, or my grandkids, and they say, "Good morning, Papa John." I'm like, woo, there's another check in my gratitude list. I got most of the time I got coffee in the coffee pot, right? Boy, without it, I'm a motherfucker. And my day just, if I'm focused on that relationship with the higher power, gets even better and better, right? Now, I can't say I'm always on that fucking gratitude freaking attitude, but a lot of the time I have one, right? And most importantly, I'm grateful for a program that has some 12 steps that I don't even really have to fucking think about. It's there, right? It's written down. I got the fucking handbook and it tells me how to fucking live and how to thrive, right? And how to not get high and fuck shit up, right? And that's because some other guy and a few of his buddies, they actually got some relief from this disease and stuck around and opened the rooms long enough, wrote that shit down for my fucked hearted ass. Right? I don't know about you, but when I read Who's an Addict, I was like, I'm a motherfucking addict. Right? I'm definitely a motherfucking addict. Right? And it just got better from there. Like, oh, okay. Now I understand some shit. And then I looked around and I saw some motherfuckers doing the damn thing. And I was like, oh, that motherfucker, he's fucked up. But he's doing fucking damn good. Maybe I should freaking ask him. Right? Therapeutic value, one addict helping another. When I'm fucking broken and I don't know if I can make it another motherfucking day. Right? I got a motherfucking phone that has a bunch of other motherfucking recovering addicts that'll pick up the damn phone and say, I love you, John. What do you need? And like, if I need a motherfucker to come running, they come running. Right? I tell them, hey, my mom just died. I don't know what to do. Motherfucker came running. And a couple other people heard, and they fucking come running, and they surrounded my ass. They told me, it's okay, you're not alone. Therapeutic value, one addict helping another. Right? You know, they went through some horrific shit. Right? And they didn't go get high. Right? They went to a fucking meeting, and they talked about it. So a fucked hard like me how to fucking do something, right? Therapeutic value, one addict helping another. When 3.5 years clean, 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call that my daughter passed away from a fentanyl overdose. And I didn't want to get high, but I wanted to fucking hurt some people. Right? Hurt some people because I was hurting. Right? I went to a fucking meeting because somebody showed me, hey, when you're hurting, go to a fucking meeting and talk about it. Right? You don't have to act on those things. Right? When I got here, I didn't want to get high and I didn't want to hurt myself and other people because I've been doing that for so long. But some freaking people in recovery show me I don't have to act on those feelings, regardless of what's happening. Right? And it was touch and go for a little while. I ain't gonna say I didn't come close. I had some people at my daughter's funeral with guns in the trunk. But I heard my daughter, Dad, you're doing great. Keep going, I love you. Right? So after the funeral, I called some people and I said, look, man, I want to fuck some shit up. I need some help. And they come fucking running. Therapeutic value, one addict helping one. Right? It's been a little while since I wanted to fuck some shit up. But, you know, I still struggle with, even with all of the evidence in my life that this freaking program works, I'll be honest, I still think that I don't deserve this, right? You know, I couldn't figure out why me and not my daughter, right? Why me and not some of these youngsters that I've seen lately going back out and thought they had one more in them and gone, right? And my sponsor always builds me up. I swear I love shit out of that man. He shows me how to live on a regular basis, and he tells me, John, you're going to help people. Even though you don't see it, you're going to help people, right? Our primary purpose, right? Look, man, this shit works. Because I couldn't do this by myself. I mean, I tried. You know, I had many freaking times when I thought, I got this, right? My sponsor said, oh yeah? How's that looking for you, really? Right? How's that looking for you mentally, spiritually? Right? What does that look like? Or I'd call him and I'd say, man, I'm having a rough time. And he'd be like, well, what does that look like? What do you mean you're having a rough time? And we get to the root of it, right? And without somebody reaching back and showing me the way on like a regular basis, loving me right where I'm at and showing me how to do that for others, I'm liable to fuck shit up, even without drugs. I don't need drugs, and I'm kind of gifted, right? And you know, it just kind of there's something in me that freaking cries out for failure and fucking shit up, right? And today I have recovering addicts in my life that when I am making life decisions, not like the should I get gas or a gallon of milk, but like life decisions that I respect because they live this program, second, that freaking I know are invested in my life and care about me, and third, don't live in the problem anymore, right? Like, don't live in the problem and are looking for the solution and can help me do the fucking same, right? Because it's easy for me to get overwhelmed with problems, right? Looking for and finding positive solutions in my life does not come natural to me. It just doesn't. I'm kind of fucked up in the head, right? I've found that through sponsorship, through a step working process, I get some relief from the fucking shit that goes on in my head, right? And first and foremost, the constant contact with my higher power, who, like I was talking to my sponsor earlier, has amazed me lately. I'm on 11th step, my first honest 11th step in 10 years, right? I'm finally getting there. And he said, well, you're right where you're supposed to be. Right? I'm like, I'm just fucking all spiritual, here, the 12th step. He said, having had, I was like, oh shit, I am right where I'm supposed to be. Right? Sometimes it takes, I'm a little slow, and sometimes it takes me talking with another recovering addict that has been in this process for a minute and lives it to see benefits, right? Like, because I still get scared, right? At 5.5 years clean, I still think this might possibly just be a fluke or a dream, because I wasn't supposed to make it. Still don't understand why. Can't believe the benefits of this program are fucking thriving in my life. I was just told it's about time. Like she said, I'm kind of naturally blabby, right? But I can't tell you enough about what this fucking program has done for me, right? I was in a deep dark hole, and without other recovering addicts showing me the way, I'd just be fucking shit up, and I'd be fucking it up clean, right? And my name's John. I'm definitely an addict, but I got some hope and a little bit of recovery, and I'm glad to be here.